Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding present the CBS Radio Network. What are we going to have today? Let me make a mental note.
Well, I tell you, Charles the Poet is going to make one of his very infrequent visits to us. Later on in the show, we'll be talking with a gentleman who understands the Perry Raison television program. And first of all, today we're going to call in Wally Blue, our remote reporter, who is joining a group of children, or a couple anyway, who are being taken on a tour of the New York waterfront to see how a tugboat operates. I think the kids are going to get a lot of information out of this, and I think Wally will, too.
Okay, then. Wally Ballou, please, from the East River. Come in.
Wally Ballou speaking from the... I'll try it again. Wally Ballou, winner of 17 Fiction
Awards.
Wally Ballou, speaking from the tugboat Moran.
Captain Jones is
here with two youngsters who are about to be taken on a tour of tugboat duty, so to speak. Right now you're hearing the whistle of the tugboat in the background. And in just a moment, the tugboat captain will explain to the children and myself just what is about to happen. You're having a good time, kids? I sure hope so.
Are your horns working, Blue?
Saying goodbye to us now.
Now, there's the signal that means the tug is saying goodbye.
Better get on down to Queen Mary. Captain Jones is the docking pilot.
Captain Jones, the docking pilot, wants us to get right on down to the Queen Mary.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Bill, I see we have company today.
Yes, Captain Jones, meet Dave and Judy.
Hello.
And Wally Ballou, too.
Queen's downriver, Captain Jones.
You mean we're really going to dock in Queen Mary?
I always going to ask that,
Why,
Kip.
That's the biggest ship in the world, isn't it?
Yes, we do that.
Five city blocks long.
Five city blocks long.
Four stories high.
And several stories high.
Be along this time. I guess you'll really see something.
Well, we hope so.
Is this tug going to bring that big ship in all along?
Let me ask the question for you, please.
No, there'll be others there, too, but Captain Jones here will be in charge.
Captain Jones
way up on the bridge of the Queen Mary.
He's up on the bridge of the Queen Mary.
There he is now, Captain Phil. That great big black ship with the red and black smokestacks in one,
of course that's it.
Three, four tugs alongside.
Anybody didn't know the Queen Mary. Anybody didn't know the Queen Mary. Be pretty silly.
Is she signaling to us, Captain Phil?
No, she's just telling that tug with
Keep
the river.
Quiet, I'm on the air now.
We'll pass upriver on his port side.
We'll pass upriver on his port side.
Hear that?
That's Captain Jones.
The tug answering. A ship always answers by repeating a signal, so there's no chance of a mix-up.
Is that a real accent you've got there, Captain?
We're getting too close to the Queen Mary.
All quiet.
It's right over us.
Oh, don't worry about that. We've got to go alongside so I can get on board.
We've got to go alongside so the pilot can get aboard the Mary.
Hey,
will you be quiet? I'm on the air. Broadcasting. That's the whistle from the Queen Mary. You hear in the background now. As we're pulling alongside, preparatory to having the pilot step aboard. These kids would keep quiet long enough, we might be able
there
to fill you in on a little...
The Queen knows we're here.
Look, they're opening a hatch in the side of the...
They're opening a hatch in the
and
side
of... Captain Jones climbing up
and
the ladder.
And Captain Jones is climbing up the...
Through it.
Now, if you want to see him in a few minutes, go way up there on the bridge.
Way up on the bridge. That's where he's going to steer it from.
Oh, let the kids through. Hey, you there,
my
stand back.
Let me through here, please.
Oh, come on, back. Let the kids through.
I can't get through there with you standing in the way there, sir. Oh, there the kids are going
up. That's it. We're all ready to go to work now. We just parade upriver alongside till we're opposite her pier. Then,
We go upriver alongside till we're opposite her pier. And then that, of course, is the time we will have her docked. I don't know just what's happening now, ladies and gentlemen.
Cut.
What's happening here?
I think Wally Ballou got caught up on one of those kid tours.
Well, when he comes back, maybe he will have learned a little bit.
I'll ask those questions, kid. That was pretty good. Very rich indeed. See, beginning right now, The second big week. Think of it. Of Immortal Bob and Ray, classic CBS radio promotion. What happened here really is that they were so good last year that the fellow thought we ought to start doing them again.
The same shows are still on.
I think he's probably on vacation.
Yeah. So, here's one that you may remember. Mrs. Boone, I noticed you waving, and I believe I even caught you, caught a fetching wink from you as I came down the aisle here.
Well, yes.
Do you want to talk to us this evening?
Yes, I'm just glad you decided by chance to light on me to talk to, and actually I did have something I'd like to remind your vast listening audience of. Boys and girls.
Well, now, you're not going to make any mention of a commercial product, are you? You wouldn't be in the hire of,
No, land sakes, no. I just wanted to say, as president of the Boonetown Municipal High School PTA, boys and girls, all of you out there from coast to coast, all within reach of my voice, be sure you go back to school in the fall. They're not even out yet, are they? Some
may be getting out now.
And keep... Oh, dry up. Somebody's talking on the...
I know, it's very distracting.
...on a loud mouth.
It's our director.
He almost goes right into the microphone. He realizes you don't have to do that.
He goes home and hears himself sometimes, you see. What were you saying about the PTA?
Well, I was going to remind everybody to go back to school in the fall and keep at it. Keep at it till you graduate. And don't quit before you get that sheepskin in your hand.
Yeah.
The diploma.
Well, that's pretty sound advice to me, Mrs. Boone.
You've just heard the nationwide public service announcement by Mrs. Jasper Boone. And I hope all of you back in Boonetown remember that when PTA election time rolls around, you'll remember the name.
All right,
and
Mrs.
I'll
Boone.
Return you to the other end of the studio of the Bob and Ray Show, which I believe is in progress.
Yes, it is. Thank you for dropping by. You won't need to stay for the repeat.
All right.
And we're right now standing again. I'm just trying to keep these kids quiet. It's 1:30, ladies and gentlemen. I just received that news from work.
1:30, he just received that news. Word. We're fortunate in having with us today Mr. Milton Kern, here to solve a problem which I imagine has been picking at some of us. Mr. Kern understands all that happens on the popular courtroom series Perry Raisin. He's here to tell us about it. Welcome, Mr. Kern.
Hello there, Mr. Gooley, and thanks for inviting me here. How did you know I was the person who understood the Perry Raisin television program?
Well, word was passed along to me by some of the people in your neighborhood, where you're regarded as somewhat of a freak. I mean, what with you being able to divine what goes on that show.
Well, I see. Well, that's a good reason, I guess.
At any rate, I got a phone call from a man who said he was a neighbor of yours, an Arnold Bigelow. Do you happen to know him, Mr. Perry?
Is he the one who told you I was able to understand the Perry Raisin show?
That's right. Do you know him?
Yes. He frequently repairs my watch. This watch here. The hands fall off quite often. What you'd call in bad condition.
I see. Well, are you annoyed that he passed along this information?
I don't think so. Since when do watchmakers have to be careful about what they say?
Good. All right, I thought you must have been a little upset.
No. He's got trouble enough repairing watches in the condition he's got.
Well, what's wrong with him, Mr. Kern?
Well, I don't know if I'm at liberty to say, and even if I were...
Mr. Kern, many things are publicized like that. And fine things have happened because
of... Well, this isn't what you'd call a disease.
Oh. Then you've got us all pretty curious.
Well, it's kind of a nasal condition. He breathes a little too hard.
Oh. Well, the way you wanted to keep it a secret, I felt sure it was some far more drastic deficiency. Well, breathing hard through the nose doesn't sound like much.
It is when you're a watchmaker, bent over a work table with all those tiny parts. Every time he leans over his work table, a good many of the parts disappear.
Then why doesn't he wear a face mask, Mr. Kern?
Because he has to give orders to his two helpers, and the mask would probably muffle his voice.
All right. Well, at any rate, he's the one who called and told me about this talent you have.
Yes.
Do you two watch the program together?
No, I avoid him whenever I can.
because of his condition, I suppose.
Yes, and I invited him to my home.
Yes.
I only have to secure all the loose objects lying around.
Uh-huh.
And what happened was he probably heard about my ability to understand the Perry Raisin show from some other people.
Well, people who stop at his shop and go inside to chat with him, I suppose, would find that out.
No, most people won't go in. They shout to him through a window.
Well, look, we made a good deal of Mr. Bigelow's troubles, you know, Mr. Kern. So, on to a brighter and more interesting matter. Do you really know what goes on that show?
Well, to tell the truth, not really. I don't think anybody does. What with all those names and things being mentioned during the show, even the principals and Walt have to ask Perry Raisin what happened at the end of the show.
That's right. Now, last week on the program, it involved a murderer who didn't know what he had done until Perry pointed it out to him.
That's right. I think the murderer forgot about the heinous crime he had committed because in all that welter of names, he forgot who he was.
Well, gee, Mr. Kern, officially I'd have to call you a fibber for representing yourself as a person who knew what went on the Perry Raisin show.
No, I really don't know.
I'll call you a fibber. But I'm glad you are. Somehow it makes me feel better. And don't forget to shout thanks through the window when you pass Mr. Bigelow's
car. I wouldn't go near him.
Okay. Now then.
We have a little theme for our old friend Charles the Poet. He's back today. Yes, round the corner and up your street comes the friendly poet-philosopher Charles to dig into his dusty manuscripts and bring forth again a poem, a story, or a memory. Charles?
I climbed a tree to the sky, and I looked beyond the horizon. There, behind the purple hills, I saw a shadow that reminded me. A purple shadow.
Come on, Charles.
That reminded me of you.
Am I?
Charles, are you going to be able to continue?
I think so.
Everybody stop laughing, please.
I climbed a tree to the sky.
So I'm afraid he can't. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening once again to your friendly poet philosopher, Charles.
Purple shadow.
Next time when he comes walking around the corner and down your street, Charles says,
so long now.
I see a long absence hasn't helped him a bit, has it?
No. Gee, it's been a long time since Charles the Poet visited our mic.
He's been on tour, you know.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, really?
Yes, he's been out in the Midwest and down the South.
Yeah.
Went over to Dallas for a while, and then up to Encino.
Uh-huh. I thought he was up in Seattle for a while.
Yeah, I think he did hit there on the trip, and then, of course...
Wait, Grim, stop running out here. The old show.
It's too bad.
Sure is, but we'll be back. Huh?
How much? In about 10 seconds?
Speaking for me, this is Ray Goulding, bidding you all a pleasant good evening.
And on my behalf, this is Bob Elliott, reminding you to hang by your thumb.
Saturday, June 11th, the Triple Crown Climax is the Belmont on the CBS Radio Network.
You're on 74, KCBS AM-FM San Francisco. FM San Francisco.